This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk with you about his anger is turned away. That's right. His anger is turned away. Whose anger? Well, God's anger is turned away. And we're going to see how when God turns his anger away, how he comforts us and how he provides and shows doors and opportunities that are open to us. So we're going to talk about that in just a few. But I want to welcome you if this is your first time watching Down to Earth, or if this is your first time listening to us on this podcast, I want to welcome you to Down to Earth. I want to welcome you to all that we do and invite you to go and watch previous episodes. They're available online at youtube.com, as well as you can go to my channel on YouTube, as well as you can preview other episodes on this network. So thank you so very much for watching, and I want to say a special shout out to everyone everywhere who are a part of this, even those of you behind the camera who are editors and uploaders who helped to make this happen. I want to say thank you and a great big God bless you. So I want to talk about this because, as usual, we're always searching for a word from the Lord. We always want to know, what is God saying at this time? How is God speaking to his people, and what is the messaging? Is he speaking to us? There's so many voices today that sometimes getting the word out and getting the true word out is remarkable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is a face. It is a fort. It is sometimes a fait de resistance, if you will, because to get the word out and get the right word out, there's so many people with microphones today who have the ability to speak words. And I find that instead of speaking words of life or speaking words of encouragement, people denigrate other people. For instance, you have a million people today who have the ability to have podcasts. Podcast is the new method of broadcasting. It adds to the new media that we have. Wouldn't you say? Okay. So instead of taking the microphone to say something encouraging, they choose to tear down women. They choose to tear down society. They choose to attack women, as if attacking human beings, attacking women who are the pillars of society, is going to change anything. It's irrevocable to me. It's just simply mind-blowing to me that you have the power and the influence, and instead of using it to do good, you choose to do harm. So you wonder why we find ourselves with plagues that we can't explain. There are wars. There are rumors of wars. There are all kinds of things taking place around us. Instead of voices coming out that are uniting the people, they're doing the opposite. I was just in my living room just before I came on, and I turned the TV on, and you know, you're kind of channel surfing because you're getting ready to go deliver the word. You know what's already in you. And I just happened to happen on one of the TV stations that claim they're doing Christian broadcasting. No, you're not. You're not even proselytizing at this point. You're not evangelizing. You're not bringing people into it. You're divisive. I'm speaking to the network that is based in Dallas, Texas. All you do is divide and divide. You have people on speaking divisive rhetoric. It is so erroneous in the things that this man said. He was on a talk show called HIN. And when I listened to him, he was giving out erroneous information. That is erroneous. But you know why he was doing it? Because he had access to information. He had a mic, and he could use his words powerfully to divide the people. That's against Christianity. That's against being a follower of Jesus Christ. And yes, am I calling it out? You bet I am. Because instead of using the power of your network to bring people together, you're based all over the world. You're in Israel. You're all over the world. You have satellites. Instead of bringing people together at a time when we need to bring people together, instead, you are dividing. So do you wonder then, is there a day and a time for God's anger? You don't hear much about that because they have the mic. So they're going to twist the rhetoric to say however they want to say. But as for people like me, there are a few of us, the remnant. There are a few of us who are going to continue to bring you the unadulterated word straight out of the Bible, straight out of the heart of God that comes directly to you. I am not going to twist it to make it fit some political ideology that I might be following. I am not going to twist it to support any social or be any social crux, if you will, or crutch to support any social belief systems that I have. I'm not going to twist it. I'm just going to tell you this is what it says, this is what it means, and be done, so that you, the viewer and the listener, are left with an impartation that, you know what, maybe I should listen to God. Maybe I need to pick up the Bible myself and follow in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So we are going to go straight into the Word. It's Isaiah chapter 12. And we're going to get into this quickly and speedily. Isaiah chapter 12, we're reading from the New King James Version. And we're reading from verses 1 to 6. And hear me out. And it says, as usual, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It's a Bible app downloaded to my iPad because I need big screen to be able to see words. Otherwise, my children will ask me, why were you not using the iPad? So I do what they say. If you live in a household or if you have your children around you, anybody who is over 2 years old and they can talk, don't they have a lot to say? Oh, yes. They have a lot to tell you about who you are and what you should do. All of a sudden, they have opinions. Amen? So I don't want them to say, Mom, you did this. Mom, you didn't. Mom, you didn't. Suffice it to say, I just do it from the iPad, Isaiah chapter 12, from the New King James Version. And it reads like this, and it says in verse 1, in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the word Yah there meaning Jehovah, yeah? Is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation from the wells. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. Excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight. I pray for someone watching, someone listening to this broadcast. At this time, Lord, when they hear this message, that it becomes a moment of encouragement to them. I pray someone obtains clarification on the next steps that they must take. I pray for someone caught in a vortex where they're not sure whether they should go or come. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will hover over them. I pray for the war in Ukraine and the people who are caught up in wars and rumors of war, for the famine that has hit their land, for the famine that has hit parts of the Sudan, for the famine that has hit parts of Ethiopia, for the famine that has hit Haiti. I pray for the people in South America and in Chile and Argentina who are having snow like you cannot believe. I pray right now, oh God, for those of us who live in the tropics, oh God, that they are experiencing storms and weather patterns and catastrophic weather. Oh God, I pray that you lift up catastrophic weather off of us in the name of Jesus, that you bring the climate back. I pray, oh God, that you save us from the raging egos of billionaires and trillionaires, oh God, who want to destroy our way of life so they can continue to live. I pray you will have mercy on the people as you heal the sick, oh God. Heal those who are mourning, Lord God Almighty. Bring comfort to people who have lost jobs and have nowhere else to go. Answer their fervency of their prayers, oh God, as they seek your face. Pray for somebody right now who is sitting in a hospital bed. Somebody sitting in a chair and say, Lord, when will I get out of this chair? Lord, when will this surgery happen so I can get on? In the name of Jesus, I command that bones be healed. I command that cancers and tumors be dried up in the name of Jesus. On the authority of the name of Jesus, I pray right now that your faith rises up. and that you'll believe the words of this preacher, that I come in agreement with you in the name of Jesus, that you are healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that everything that comes against you is banked up in the name of Jesus. I pray you will not be foreclosed. I pray you will not lose your job, and that God will expedite and provide you with a supernatural, overnight, expeditious deliverance in 24 hours. In Jesus' mighty name, and all in agreement, say amen. And my producer and director are looking at me from behind the camera like, okay. In the name of Jesus, what is the word of the Lord for this hour? The Lord says right here, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Can I just be honest with you? God is a spirit. Therefore, he responds to commands. So he's not robotic, as has been implied by maybe previous generations, that God just sits there in a rocking chair like he's in the lobotomy aftercare special, as my daughter likes to call it. No, God is responsive. He's not sitting in an armchair, just sitting there waiting. What thou sayest now, Herod? What can I do for you? He's not a magician. There are prayers that I have prayed that God never answered. Thank the Lord he didn't answer some of my prayers, because I don't know what I would have done if he had answered them. Some of the things I have prayed about, you begin to look back and say, it's a good thing God did not answer that prayer. God, in his finite wisdom, knows exactly what he's doing. So does he get angry with us? Yeah, when we step out of his will, when we don't seek his face, when we do things that we know we shouldn't do. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I was dating this man whom I thought I loved. I was so in love. I kid you not, folks. I was so in love. And he cheated. And the Sunday morning after, you know how these things happen, I went to church trying to find some measure of hope that the relationship, because it was trending towards this was going to be marriage, right? In the midst of all that, there was a lot going on around me. My mother was ill and dying. A lot was going on. So I'm giving myself now grace that I didn't give him. And as I went to church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, forgive him. You know what I did? I did not. I said, no, I'm not going to forgive him, because that was hurtful and what he did. I ignored the word of God. You know what happened? Bitterness and unforgiveness rose up in me that almost cut me off, almost made me ill. I was blinded by my fury, and I did not listen to what God said. So God stood apart and said, okay, you deal with that as much as you can and see what happens. That unforgiveness that I never forgave him for, it had nothing to do with whether the relationship was going to be restored. It had to do with what? Simply following the command of God, which was to what? To just forgive him so God would not be angry with me. Then I had to know, suffer and say, okay, nothing is working, so God must be angry with me. What is the Lord saying? He's saying here, just praise me, will you? Just do what I say. It's real simple. Whatever the command that God is speaking to you about, do it. There were many times when God spoke to me and told me to go speak to someone so that I could get on radio. It looked like it didn't work. Oftentimes, the people whom I spoke with were never the all-conquering, powerful presidents of corporations. First of all, I couldn't get in the door. I don't know about you. Maybe you can get in the door to see them, but I couldn't. But God would give me specific instruction to go meet with one person, because sometimes that's the connectivity. It takes one step after one step to get to your destiny. So what did I do? There were times when I was faithful. Yes, Lord, I will do it. Yes, Lord. And there were times when Harriet was just Harriet. Rebellious as they come, just won't listen, because, you know, you have to forgive me. The ancestry in me sometimes, it is what it is. I'm human. But what the Lord is saying is, despite all of that, what is he saying? He says, if you praise me, though I was angry with you, my anger is turned away, because now he's comforting me. Because look at me now. I can talk to you. I can tell you about all the negative experiences that I've had. Because what? God came to me and comforted me. You might be sitting there saying, but Harriet, I did some things that I know God is angry with me. I had an abortion. I abandoned my family. I walked away from a job. I walked away from a commitment that I made. I did something I shouldn't have done. I hurt my family. I cheated on my wife. I left my children. Whatever it might be. And you might be saying the negative things that happen to you is because God is angry with you. But God is saying, praise me, trust in me, and be not afraid, because the Lord is your strength. We have to come to a place right now. I know the political climate is ever shaking. It's ever changing. It is what it is. It's going to keep changing until it gets to where it's supposed to be. We're not going to deal with that. I'm talking to you just like I would want you to talk to me. I'm talking to you as simply and as basic and as human as I can get. I like to say it like this. I'm going to be as down to earth as I can be. Yeah? And I want you to know that if you praise the Lord, He's going to come to you. I know it's hard to say, but I don't know, Harriet, my son died, my child got sick and died, and I'm angry with God. Yes, is that valid? Yes. Are you entitled to your anger? Yes, but how long? After a while, you have to let it go. You have to loosen that anger, and you have to start turning back to God. Let me explain. I was the preacher who prayed people into wholeness, and my mother died. Can you imagine how I felt being at her bedside, knowing that I pray for people and they get healed and walk out of hospital beds? And I prayed for my mother and I could not stop the pain. I prayed for her and she died. Was I angry? You bet I was. I remember my mother's pastor saying to me a few years before, he was a pastor of over 40 years and lost his child. And when he lost his child, he turned to me and he said, no, pastor. He said, no, reverend, what do I do? And I said to him, physician, heal thyself. 7 years later, he was reminding me of the same thing. He said the same thing to me. He said, physician, heal thyself. I now had to go back and say, Lord, forgive me for the anger. Forgive me for the anger that I displayed. Forgive me for turning my back. Forgive me for feeling so hurt. There's somebody right now who is listening to this. You lost your spouse, someone you loved, someone who meant the world to you. They were your everything. You cannot even breathe without them. You think you can't live without them. And yet they died despite your best efforts. I know you're angry. You say, if God is good, why did God not heal them? Why did God not stop them from dying? Let me tell you something. Every one of us who enters into this world have an exit date that is different from you or I. You might be enjoined with someone. You might be married to someone. But that doesn't mean that your destinies with God are intertwined. That does not mean that. You are still a separate person from them. Look at me. It was my mother. I came out of her, didn't I? Mm-hmm. She raised me, didn't she? Mm-hmm. I called her mother. But she and I had a separate way to go. I remember when she was sick. I'm saying this and telling you this so that you understand. Amen? I remember when she laid on the hospital bed and the doctors came and they said, Harriet, your mother has asked us to tell you that this is it. That there are 3 weeks left in her lifespan. And I remember sitting there saying, 3 weeks, this is it? And after they explained the process, they said, go home, take your mother home, and call your family, and prepare your family. And I remember sitting there, and I turned to look at Mom. And I said, Mom, this is the end of the road. This is where our paths no longer intersect. We have come to this fork in the road, and this is where we go separate paths. My friends, what am I saying to you? We have to understand that these things happen. It's part of the human course of experience. You might be going into work tomorrow, and you might hear them say, this is the end of the road. This is where our paths no longer intersect. We have come to this fork in the road. We go here. You might be hearing that from a spouse who says, we've come to the end of the road. We've come to a point where the fork goes this or that. What do? You don't get angry. whatever you do, even if you're angry at the person, even if you're angry at the circumstances, don't get angry with God. Because the Lord is assuring us that his anger will be turned away. So even if you feel momentary, even if you feel like God could have worked this better, maybe he could have. But somehow the Bible continues to encourage us that all things work together for the good of them who are called of the Lord and who are what? Called according to his purpose. Go read Romans chapter 8. Whenever something bad happens to you and you're not sure that you understand it and you're not sure why it happened the way it is, I encourage you pick up Romans, the book of Romans, and go to Romans chapter 8 and you'll feel better. You will come out of it. In fact, I have found that maybe because I'm a motivational speaker, maybe because I like to encourage people, I have found that the Bible is a book of motivational speech. Yes, we fall down, but we do get up. Yes, God is angry, but his anger, he says, is but for a moment. When that moment is up, whether that moment lasts, it's up to us. The sooner we turn around is the better it is going to be. Yes, I was hurt when my mother died. I was so hurt. I stayed hurt for about 6 months. And then one day the Lord came to me and he said, it's time. It was a few months later, the Lord said, take off your mourning clothes, shake off the ashes and start. It's time to get up and live. My mother died in June, and in October, the Lord came to me and he said, take off your mourning clothes. I had to stop mourning. I went through her closets, put out everything and took her clothes. Was I throwing her away? I was trying to live. Many of you have spouses and children who have deceased and you're still holding on to the stuff. Ask yourself, how is that working for you? How is that helping you and the others who are still alive in the household, your family members who are still there, while you have life, yet live? I am not chastising you. I'm showing you that God himself is saying, I have turned the anger. He has put it away. If God can put away his anger towards humanity, surely we can put our anger away towards one another. Amen? Amen. Look at all the wickedness we have done. For thousands of years, we have enslaved people. We even look at other human beings and think we are better than other human beings. We all come out of the loins of someone. None of us are made and drop out of a sky. Nobody has ever had a baby that dropped out of the sky. But look at us. We all have to get naked and climb into bed and make a baby with somebody. And look at how we look at other humans. By the grace of God, some of us are born in countries where water runs through a pipe. There are still people in rural America who have to get their water from another source. But we disparage against people who don't look like us. If God can turn away his anger for us enslaving people, if God can turn his anger away from us having sex with children, sexualizing children, if God can turn away his anger from those of us who are in public policy, who exact and execute public policy that destroys other people's nations, and God can turn his anger away from us, why can't we turn off our anger towards someone else? My daughter and I have conversations. I love talking to my children. I've always loved talking to them because you learn stuff from them. They're younger, so they have a different perspective. And my daughter and I have been talking a lot lately about having the grace to grow. And I've been saying to her, sometimes I have learned that I never gave myself even the grace to grow. You know what I mean by that? We don't give people the grace to become human and the grace to overcome and the grace to do what? This is it. Learn from their mistakes. I never gave myself grace. So, of course, did I give grace to anybody else? No, that ex-boyfriend I told you about, maybe I should have given him grace to grow. But I felt like he was a grown man. He should have known there are some things that you don't do. But again, that is what hindsight is always 20/20. But so we need hindsight then sometimes to look at a situation and look at the events in our lives through the scope. We need to be able to sometimes step back. Before you jump in and make a decision, it's so human to go in and make a decision and write people off really quickly. Try to breathe a little bit. Take a deep breath. Count down. And look at the situation again. Because God is telling me right here that he turned his anger from me. Do you know how angry he could have been with me? I didn't do everything that God told me to do. He, first of all, he told me to never marry the man I married. 20 years later, I lived for 20 years, and those ensuing 20 years, I'm begging God for mercy every day. Finally, God turned his anger away from me and brought me comfort to where I can be assured that I'm okay now. Many people have gone to their graves and have gone and left this world without knowing that the grace of God was still there that could come to them. And so I want to remind us all today, I want to take this moment to remind us that there is a balm in Gilead, that there is grace, and that the grace of God will come to us and greet us and give us. In Jesus' name, be blessed, everybody.